are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Monday, June the 1st. That's right, we made it to June, and talking Pistons general manager possibilities, theories, history today with James and Laz. It's Smart Guy Monday and Tuesday, so I called in two of the guys that I go to when I want to find out what I should think about the Pistons. But this is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Today's episode brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I've got to load up on my own Built Bar supply here again soon, but you should go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order there. Thanks for listening. Hope everyone stayed safe over the weekend in downtown Detroit. I know I was curfewed out for most of the weekend here. And yeah, it's a difficult situation to even address, really. But like I said, I hope as a nation we continue to move in the right direction. We heal a little bit from this, or we start to move in the right direction, I guess is a better way of putting it. A little bit ill-equipped here as an NBA podcaster to throw out healing words to everybody. But we're going to try our best to talk about the Detroit Pistons here, as the city of Detroit is one of many that had a tumultuous weekend. And, yeah, so really not much else to say about that. My rioting days are over, by the way. I did partake a little bit in some demonstrations after Trump was elected when I lived in Chicago. I'm not a fan. But anyway, today we're talking hoops, the Detroit Pistons. Laz Jackson and James Edwards III did me the favor of coming on and talking about general manager candidates. Tomorrow we went deep on the draft, so that'll be Tuesday's episode. Also talking Pistons GT a little bit, probably on Wednesday. So we've got a full week for you guys, despite the fact that there's not a whole lot going on. We are on higher watch for the general manager as well, so a lot going on, even though there's not much else really going on for the Pistons and the NBA. But the NBA, the GM search gives us a little bit to talk about. But give me a follow on Twitter and Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook. But up next, we're going to get right into it and talk to James and Laz about the general manager candidates. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, you've heard me talk all about Built Bars, and now is the time, if you haven't yet, to jump on board and purchase some of these things. Built Bars are tasty. One a day for me. I was actually pretty hungry on Saturday, had a couple of drinks, and then went ahead and ate a second one on Saturday. So I broke my rule and had a second Built Bar on Saturday. Sorry about that. Try to stay a little disciplined, but sometimes things change in this world. But it's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Tasty. 16 amazing flavors. Adding more and more every day. You got to check out these new ones as well that are out there. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. And also, best part, they are healthy. Great for the health-conscious guy, giving you that must-needed energy. Then also lose the weight, maintain the weight if that's what you're into. Indulging in a delicious treat. This can feel like it's your cheat for the day, even though it's actually not, because they're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, all the things you want. And those kind of metrics, those kinds of numbers that are good for you. The peanut butter brownie, which is as good as it sounds, 20 grams of protein, but just 170 calories, three grams of sugar, and only 3 grams of net carbs as well. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. And again, another product that not only I endorse, but I spend my hard-earned money on. I went on the website to Mima Remedies and restocked my own personal selection. The sample was so good that I spent some of my own money to get into it Again, every day before I go to bed, I'm hitting up the Mima Remedies. It's the CBD company providing full-spectrum CBD hemp oil and flower. This company is owned by Michigan State alums and Southwest Michigan residents as well. Only two ingredients. I've got one in the, got it in my hand right now. It's the tincture, the full-spectrum hemp-induced tincture. I'm using the Lifter is what it's called. The Lifter is my brand. That's what I've been using. It's what I recommend. So check that out. The two ingredients are USDA certified organic MCT oil derived from coconuts. You know about MCT oil. But also the CO2 extracted full spectrum CBD from hemp organically grown in the great state of Oregon, where Mima founder Brandon Denler got his start in the industry working with some other Sparty alums. Go green. To celebrate Mima's first season growing their own hemp in Michigan, they are giving Locked On listeners 25% off at MimaRemedies.com. Use promo code Locked On. Really easy to put the promo code in there. It shows up right away. Well done on the website there, Mima. But that's M-I-M-A Remedies, R-E-M-E-D-I-E-S.com. Mima Remedies. Full spectrum extract retains the terpenes and the flavor of hemp flower. No additives or flavoring, all natural. All the products are third-party tested. When I got my shipment, they had all the numbers in there, very official. You can look up online at the labs, easy to detect where this is being checked out. And that it does check out, always below 0.3% THC, legal, healthy, good for you, all that good stuff. Find Mima Remedies on Instagram, M-I-M-A Remedies, also on Facebook, and check them out on their website, MimaRemedies.com. 25% off using promo code LOCKDOWN. Support the Locked On Pistons podcast. These purchases are even better than Built Bar because they've purchased all the Michigan ones. So your purchase from Mima Remedies helps out even more percentage-wise. Gets me taken care of. Gets the Locked On Podcast Network taken care of. It's another success story that we can bring to other companies and say, Mima Remedies was so happy. You get how this goes. You understand what the game's at. And if you're someone who's been listening to this podcast for a long time, you owe me. So go ahead and do something like this. So if you're looking for high-quality CBD products from a brand you can trust, Mima is a match made in Michigan.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by two special guests, two of the guys that I go to when I need news, maybe some analysis or opinion stuff out there. And that's, first of all, James Edwards, the third of The Athletic. James, thanks for taking the time.
Matt, appreciate you having me on, as always. I was going to say, great to be joined by Laz, but I didn't want to ruin your intro. So
oh, you stepped on the big reveal. Laz Jackson is the other guest, Laz Chance on Twitter of Detroit Bad Boys, and also every other podcast that I'm not on. Laz, thanks for taking the time, bud.
No, thanks for having me. It's a little weird podcast season right now. It's quiet.
Yeah, it is. It's but that being said, you know, this we would be coming up on 3 weeks from the NBA draft or so. Right about now, and the Pistons made some news last week. Obviously, that June 25th date. I don't think they've yet postponed the draft officially, but I'm assuming everything we're hearing is kind of possibly even August or September, probably late September that the draft's going to happen. But let's start with general manager with the Pistons, James. I think you mentioned the other day that you, by the time folks are listening to this podcast, you have a new story to check out. Why don't you plug that and let us know maybe the gist of leaving some stuff on the bone for the paying customers, of course.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Like the GM search obviously kind of popped up, and I wouldn't say it's unexpected, but I guess maybe the timing is a little weird. But then when you think about it, just kind of read the tea leaves on the timing, where the Pistons are as an organization, you start to kind of connect the dots, I guess. I don't know what the fan base kind of thought when they saw that news, or are the Pistons just going to go get like a young assistant GM and Ed and Arn and are going to still run the show? I get the sense that they're going to try to get a person that holds a lot of weight in the organization. I think this person is going to have say. I think their voice is going to be heard. The big thing with this team is drafting. I mean, we can point to many things over the years that have the Pistons in the situation that they're in. But I think we would all agree number one is poor drafting. And I think whoever they hire, that's going to be kind of their expertise, their specialty. I think that Ed came in, did what he's supposed to do. I don't think he's leaving. His contract is up after next year. So it kind of makes sense with the timing, the announcement of the search. But I wouldn't be surprised if he kind of stepped back and played the background. Maybe continue to be team president, but maybe an advisor role, oversee everything, play the background, and let this GM kind of be the new mascot of this rebuild. That to me makes me think that this isn't just like a, we're going to get somebody in here and grow them, and Ed and Arn are still going to make all the calls. I think this person's going to hold some weight when it's all said and done.
Now, it kind of puts you on the spot here. Is there some reporting about a timetable? I mean, are we expecting this to be this week or fairly soon? I heard the only reporting that I have from around the league is that I heard it's a short list of folks on this list for the Pistons. Do you have do you know anything about a possible timetable, or is it just kind of one of those things that it's so new that it's hard to say at this point?
I know last week they went out and contacted teams that have candidates that are still employed by NBA teams to mm-hmm. get permission. So I would imagine all that's ironed out by now, and they'll probably start the interview process this week. I wouldn't be surprised if you hear a hire sometime in June, middle of June. I think they're probably going to want to move quick. I don't know why, but just to get somebody in here, and I guess whenever the draft is, just to have them prepared and caught up to speed. But I know last week was the kind of weeding out the candidate process and figuring out who on what teams can they ask for permission and talk to. Plus, obviously, they have a list of people that aren't employed currently. I know that much. I know they have – last week they started the reaching out process.
Now, before we kind of move forward with even names or possible archetypes of folks that might be out there, Laz, are you with me at all? I haven't heard your take on this whole thing. Isn't this, the past 2 years, the Ed Stefanski arrangement, how it was rolled out in terms of his role with the team, and then it was quickly found out a few months, before even his first season in charge that he would be the de facto general manager. I'm not crazy in saying that this whole thing has been bizarre at best and strange in how it's all kind of gone down, right?
Yeah, it's certainly less than ideal, I think would be the best way to put it. I will say one thing that you look at front offices around the league, and there are a lot of front offices with structures that we're not necessarily traditionally familiar with. I mean, I was looking at the Clippers front office structure just the other day, and they've got a VP of basketball ops, they've got a general manager, two assistant general managers, four or five directors of various personnel, four directors just for the draft, based on international and American. And so having a front office that is not necessarily a super linear structure, I guess, is not that's not uncommon around the league. It just, when you're the Clippers and you're a championship contender and you're reshaping things and you're trading, nine draft picks for Paul George, it looks good. When you're the Pistons and you're, barely winning 40 games and kind of careening and crashing in December of this year, it doesn't look so good. And so I think that having some more traditional structure in the form of an actual general manager, if nothing else, will offer a better look than it's been in the past.
Now, what I've heard and kind of seen some people say is something like to the effect of when Ed Stefanski started in 18, that this team was in just such a bad shape that there was no way that they could get a big name or maybe who they might in an ideal world be able to get. James, is that something that fans are coming up with on their own, or is the team trying to sell that in some way, or is that something you – find some truth in, or is that just kind of this is the best way to explain the situation where we're at, whether it's things have been handled correctly or not?
No, and I was going to add to kind of what Laz said, which goes off that. I went back and for my piece that's coming out tomorrow, I went back and found a quote. I think it was from Casey and Stefanski did their press conference together, or at least that was the first time we got to talk to Ed.
Mm-hmm. Was that the famous Pat Caputo question?
Yes, yes. Yeah. Are they playing in LA? Or are they practicing in LA? Yeah.
Yes.
That was fantastic. Yeah. To quote Tom, I give Ed a lot of credit because he could play any role, GM or president of basketball ops. I give him a lot of credit that he didn't put his title first. He put the organization first. That's why he's here. He's plug and play. Ed can do anything, and he's willing, and he's very experienced. So obviously, as you mentioned, Matt, he came in with like there's a vagueness about what exactly his role is when he came here. And then as these 2 years went on, I think it was pretty clear that he was kind of the face of the front office at the time and led this rebuild. But if you think about back then in 2018, knowing the vagueness of it and what we know now, this kind of makes sense. I don't want to say non-committal because they did give him a 3-year deal, but it was clear they were trying to sort out where they were going as an organization, and they were trying to sort out the plan of attack they wanted to build. And that's why I think aside from what Laz said, where I think a lot of the traditional titles are starting to kind of evaporate, I think they just wanted to get a guy in there, not give him a title, but you can see what his role is. Now they have an opportunity, they have a direction, they have a plan, and you can get somebody in there with that title because this person, thanks to what Ed did, got them out of salary cap jail. They have their first top five pick likely since 2003. It's in a much better position. Obviously, the record's not, but the organization structure, I guess, is in a much better position than when Ed got here. And I think that's telling of maybe the type of hire they're going to go out and make, because I think it's a lot more attractive when you have cleaner books and a top draft pick than it is when you're picking 13th and you have, like, the fifth highest payroll in the NBA. So if you think back then, yeah, it seemed a little odd. But as time went on, it started to make more sense. And then now when they're announcing the search, you can kind of connect the dots and see that they did have a bigger plan in place. They just didn't always make it clear to the public.
Yeah. In retrospect, the 3-year deal is kind of a big key to that, right? You know, yeah. Just thinking back to past Pistons GM, you know, Joe D was here multiple years. Stan Van Gundy was signed to a 5-year deal and served out 4 of those years. And, you know, not everybody thought he should have gotten all 4 of those years even. But to have a shorter term deal points to, you know, picking a direction and having that direction kind of picked for them. And then, you know, using this year as a jumping off point. And so in retrospect, the pieces do kind of fall into place.
We'll tell you guys about the most useful app on my phone when I'm stuck inside during the pandemic. We know it's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. I am reading Chuck Daly's biography with Joe Falls. Enjoying that one, by the way. I will tell you about that down the road. But when you don't have the free time, you can't read or work on personal development. I'm trying to read that book. I've got Derrick Rose's autobiography still sitting here that I haven't gotten through. I've got The Office book, the behind-the-scenes oral history of the show that I'm working on too. Too much books, not enough time. There is an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Blinkist has got great selections out there. Here's a couple of them for you. Born a Crime by Trevor Noah, the host of The Daily Show. You can get that into your brain in just a 15-minute read. Also, audio available too. Here's another one. The Moment of Lift by Melinda Gates. That's right. Melinda Gates in the news as usual. 13-minute read to get The Moment of Lift by Melinda Gates, the wife of Bill Gates. Good times. All sorts of good stuff out there on the Blinkist app. Of course, Tiger Woods, Michelle Obama, all sorts of books out there for you to quickly get through and get the information and move on with your life. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial, and you'll also have 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist, Blinkist.com/NBA. Laz, interesting that you bring up the Stan Van Gundy end to his tenure. Obviously, this was right before Stefanski comes aboard, because there's a little bit of a parallel, right, in that Stan Van Gundy makes the trade for Blake Griffin, and that's before in his last couple months as president and coach, basically running the show for the Pistons. And you wonder if if Tom Gores or Arne Tellem knew in January of 2017 or I guess 18, if they knew that Stan Van Gundy was going to be gone, whether that trade happens, who knows? You know, if a new regime is going to come in and they knew that was going to happen. What I'm saying is now you've got the Andre Drummond trade from February that they made. Laz, does the fact that they have kind of a new general manager coming in, and again, this is basically the same regime, Ed Stefanski still going to be overseeing basketball operations to some level of power we don't know and maybe won't know on the outside here, but do you have any different feelings about the Andre Drummond trade, given that now it's at least a one new primary decision maker that's going to be coming in who wasn't involved in that decision at the time?
Yeah, it's tough. I wasn't a huge fan of the return for Andre Drummond, and I thought that you know, he was too talented a player to basically like essentially just give away. You know, even with, but I will say that, you know, picking the clarity of direction has been something that's been something I didn't really take into account at the time of the trade. You know, I would think that a new GM would be able to come in and trade and make that same Andre Drummond trade, you know, during whenever the offseason ends up being. But I will say that, you know, it does make the team like a more attractive position, like James was talking about. It's much easier to pitch to a general manager like, hey, we're going to have a top five pick. We're going to have $30 million in cap space. You can build this team like however you see fit, instead of like, hey, you know, we've got a top five pick, or, you know, maybe if you keep Andre, like, hey, we've got a top seven pick in a draft that's not particularly great. Your first big move is going to have to be to trade, you know, to one or of these two big contracts. And also, you know, the other one's probably not going to be happy that this isn't what they signed up for. So I see why the pitch gets a little bit better due to the Andre Drummond trade.
And to add to that, like, I think Ed kind of walks away from this thing. I mean, not walk away literally, but he's the guy that kind of went into the jungle and was willing to take the lumps for kind of any backlash that might have come from a Drummond trade, or having a team that won five games a month. You know what I mean? And I think he walked out. I don't know what kind of I get the sense that the public opinion on him is leaning more towards they like him than dislike him. And I think for given what he had when he got here to where the team is now, I think having that direction and kind of that flexibility, I think Ed has done a great job. And I think he's done what they wanted him to do in his 3 years. And whether he continues on in a different role or the same role, he kind of was the one that went into the jungle and came out with a plan. And now they can hire somebody that is able to kind of craft this with help the way that they see fit, like Laz was saying. And I just think the Drummond trade needed to happen. You can't hire somebody. You just can't continue on with picking the 10th, not making the playoffs. It was going to just continue to be a revolving door. And I'm at a point you just got to get out.
Yeah, and there's obviously a little bit of positives that come out of it so far, because they moved up the draft order about two spots since the trade, and we'll see what happens in the lottery. So the record was bad after they traded Drummond, and that was probably by design. But I want to talk about that cap space a little bit, and I know that we're probably all on the same wavelength as far as strategies with the cap space in terms of taking some bad contracts and maybe even getting assets included to that, or some guys that might be undervalued that you maybe take a chance on, things like that. I want to ask you guys, not to get into really specifics because we've thrown names around, but when we're going to be sitting here having a conversation in training camp, when this roster is made up for next year, whenever next season is, of course, there's so many uncertainties. And even this question, there's uncertainties because who knows exactly what the cap structure will look like whenever this offseason comes. But do you think that we'll all be able to say that there were obvious positives of this cap space? I kind of have a theory that they're going to have a bunch of cap space and not a lot of use for it, that there's not going to be a lot of takers in terms of we'll give you this bad, because first of all, there's not a whole lot of bad contracts out there, and there's not a whole lot of teams that are going to be wanting to make a whole bunch of moves this summer. Are you guys optimistic? Put yourself your fan hat on for the Pistons. Are you optimistic that there's going to be moves out there that will justify that cap space, kind of not including the Andre Drummond trade into the equation, but just with the cap space, do you think that there's going to be some good moves to be had, and you think the team's going to benefit from it long term?
I think it's a little bit easier for me to put my fan hat on than James, so I guess I'll start. I absolutely think there will be moves to be had with this cap space. I mean, you look at just if nothing else, you look at teams that will find themselves in salary situations that they did not see because of a global pandemic, and you'll see trades that need to be made because the owners no longer feels comfortable, you know, holding salary at a particular level. And it'll cost teams something to move to a salary level they're comfortable with. And the Pistons are one of, I think, only like three or four teams who have the potential to like absorb salary in trades. And so just from a like purely, you know, pandemic response thing, you have to imagine the Pistons get some value for that cap space.
No, I think that's a great point. I think even before the pandemic, there was purpose in having it. I mean, now I'm curious to see how Christian Wood's free agency played out. I've reported a bunch of times, thanks to the help of John Hollinger, like if the Pistons could sign Wood for the average annual value, which is like $10 million, that would only count like 1.7 against the cap. But if it goes above that, then whatever that number is counts against the cap. And I could definitely see a team throwing more than $10 million at Christian Wood. And if the Pistons obviously have a number and they want to go that to get him, then now they have that freedom. So I think maybe the pandemic and what comes with that in terms of salary cap, I think maybe more teams might back off, and the Pistons very well could get Wood for around $10 million now. And then you look at like what Laz just said, there's going to be teams that aren't going to be able to do as much because of the repercussions that come with this. And I think Detroit has put itself in a position to take on a bad contract, and I'm sure one owner at least will want to do something that gets rid of a lengthy deal, and Detroit will be right there to be able to absorb it. You look at teams like the Hornets. I mean, yeah, is the odds of them getting Brandon Ingram high? No, but I mean, the kid is from Carolina and he did play at Duke, and that Nick Batum contract's there, and they have a first round pick. And if they're willing to trade that, and Detroit's willing to take that for another first round pick, I mean, there are a few situations individually that make sense. And I think that just Detroit is in the position to do many things, which was kind of the goal of trading Andre. It's, they have flexibility to go one or two or three different avenues.
Yeah, yeah. For the record, I totally agree that if, like what Laz was saying, if the pandemic response to the salary cap is just to drop it, you know, $20 million and have all things else be equal, then the Pistons are sitting in a great position, or $15 million, whatever it is, because then that cap space becomes extremely important if people are trying to avoid a new luxury tax or get to near the cap. So, yeah, and like you said, and the Christian Wood, if you could keep him for that average annual value of $10 million, or if that drops because of the pandemic to something like $8 or $9 million, if they can keep him for those early bird rights, that would be great for the Pistons, especially given the new cap ramifications that might be out there. Laz, what about the archetype of a general manager? I mean, you have some former players already in the organization in Pat Garrity and Malik Rose. You have a former super agent in Arn Tellem. You have a guy like Ed Stefanski who's been around the block with a few different teams. Is there an archetype of a person that you think would be the perfect person to come in and be the general manager for the Pistons?
I think that anyone with a vast amount of experience in player personnel is going to be really key. That's drafting, that's trading, that's free agent acquisitions. I think someone with good relationships around the league will be paramount. You know, we all know Stan Van Gundy was very in favor of paying the Detroit tax to get free agents to come here. I would prefer if the new general manager, you know, didn't necessarily just like levy that tax on themselves instantly, and just had, you know, other avenues, other relationships to build on that was able to benefit the team financially. And, you know, I think that I would prefer someone who has a good vision for what this team could be, and someone who has a lot of experience. I don't think this is the time to go in a direction where this is a somebody's first front office experience, or you know, someone with like less than 3 or 4 years of front office experience around the league, just in general. I think the situation in Detroit is so raw that there is a lot of potential for things to go right, but there is also a lot of potential for things to go wrong, and inexperience could portend really poorly for the future, and that would, you know, leave Detroit much in the situation they just escaped, right? And so I'm looking for someone with a more experienced hand to take the reins in Detroit.
James, do you get an indication as to what the archetype might be for who might be coming in, what type of, and I want to steer a little bit towards analytics here, because, you know, you had Sachin Gupta come in with Ed Stefanski. They threw enough money at him to get him to come to Detroit. He was gone after 1 year after getting a bit of a promotion with Minnesota and Gerson Rosas. Is there, would they want to backfill with an analytics person as an assistant general manager, or is there a possibility that the general manager could be someone who's come up through those ranks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a possibility. I'm fairly certain from what I've heard and people I've talked to that they're going to do some shuffling in the front office. Like, it's not just going to be them hiring a GM. They're going to get some fresh faces in there, some new blood. I think in terms of general manager, I think, again, I said a little earlier, drafting, scouting, player evaluations, like that's going to be key for this franchise. Because think about it, even if Ed and Arn stick around, I would think most would agree Ed has done fine on his trades to this point. And I think that the signing since Stan has left have been fine to get Derek for the deal that they got him at. I'm trying to think who else. Markeith's deal. Markeith played over his value. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm probably missing one or two more. It's been a long year.
Yeah, I kind of tried to forget last season.
I was trying to forget about it in January. Yeah, and I think drafting is somebody with a scouting, drafting background is going to be pivotal to this franchise because, like I said, and you guys know, drafting has been this franchise's Achilles heel, I mean, for years, even when they were good. I mean, you look at the Darko pick. It's been the issue. So I don't necessarily – I agree with everything that Laz said, except while I don't know if they need to be experienced, yes. Do I think that they need to have 3 years in the front office? I don't know if I don't know about that. Like I've thrown out the name Bryson Graham from New Orleans. This is a guy that's been in New Orleans' system for 10 years. Came up through the drafting and scouting ranks. He was a director of college scouting before he was promoted to assistant GM. I think in 2018 or 17. I think just anybody that can kind of portray a way to build this franchise through the draft, through identifying young talent, just having that background is of the utmost importance. Cause I think they've shown that that's how they're going to build this thing from here on out is through the draft and identifying talent and trying to build that within the system. And I think they've done a good job. Dwayne Casey deserves a lot of credit. They've built a lot of their young guys up in just a short amount of time. I mean, the Bruce Brown of rookie year looks a lot different than Bruce Brown's second year. Svi Mihailuk, it's night and day. It's Christian Wood, as soon as he got the opportunity, they were able to kind of keep him happy until he got his opportunity, and then he showed what he could do. So I think they got a lot of things covered, contrary to popular belief, except getting somebody in there that has that drafting pedigree, that drafting knowledge, that eye for identifying talent. I think that is of the utmost importance. And I can comfortably say that'll be high on their list. And I do also think that while if it's not the GM, I do think that they're going to make I think it is important to them to make sure that front office is very diverse. They have many different walks of life. And I think that's something to keep an eye out for too.
Now I gotta ask you guys, the former players, the former Pistons, Chauncey Billups. I'm assuming it's a hard no from both you guys for him. But then you got Tayshaun, who has a couple years in the Memphis front office and has the Ed Stefanski ties. I'll start with Laz. Your thoughts on those two, and then James will come through and crush our every fan's enthusiasm for those possibilities and tell us that it's probably no chance of happening for either. I'm guessing. Laz, what do you think?
I'm not necessarily opposed to Chauncey Billups. Again, that does run into the experience paradigm that I was speaking about earlier. But I think that, you know, I think Chauncey has been around the league long enough to where that that's not something I'm like super worried about. However, from my perspective, you know, I don't know if this is the job Chauncey wants, right? Chauncey has been quite clearly really discerning in the front office job that finds himself willing to take. You know, he was part of the discussions after Stan Van Gundy was fired. If I'm remembering correctly, the Cleveland Cavaliers like offered him a front office position that he declined, you know, in their, you know, post championship kind of stupor. And so from my perspective, you know, if Chauncey is a guy who's being really discerning and a guy who wants to have a lot of success at whatever he does, I'm not sure if Detroit is the place he wants to be right now. And so that's the way I've tended to think about it. And as for Tayshaun, you know, Tayshaun does have this Stefanski connection. However, like if you look at like where Memphis is right now, like it makes a lot of sense for Tayshaun to stay there because Memphis is in a really great situation for the next, you know, 3-4 years. They've already got the star the Pistons are looking for in Ja Morant. You know, they've already got some like a really good second guy in Jaren Jackson Jr. They've got young supporting role guys in Dylan Brooks and Brandon Clark. And so, you know, if you're looking like around the league for jobs to perhaps like, you know, bolster your resume, like Memphis is a really good place to do that. And so I don't know if Tayshaun really wants to leave Memphis. You know, James can, I think, offer a little bit more insight into that. But, you know, for me, it's just, it just comes down to, I don't know if this Pistons job right now is what either of the former Pistons is really looking for.
Yeah. I just always crack up when these happen. They happen obviously when, in 2018, and then this week, when you look at the kind of comments on Twitter and everybody's like, Chauncey home. And I'm like, because he's a good basketball player, like, why is everybody like so adamant that Chauncey's the kind of going to be the saving grace for the franchise? Like, he has a nice job. I'm very knowledgeable and smooth to hear him talk. But it just doesn't make much sense to me why people, I mean, I guess I get it. It's nostalgia and they see Steve Yzerman coming back to the Red Wings. Steve did a tremendous job in Tampa. That's why he's in Detroit. I guess I just don't have anything to base or kind of, I don't know, back a Chauncey hire. There's nothing there for me. Tayshaun, on the other hand, obviously has front office experience, but I don't know enough about the structure there in Memphis to know exactly what his role is. Yes, they've drafted well, and yes, they've been in a good position, but it's kind of tough to miss on Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson. I don't know if they did end up getting Brandon Clark, so that's kind of shows that they're able to find talent later in the draft and later in the first round. I don't know exactly Tayshaun's role in the front office. I would imagine that they would probably reach out, at least do an interview, just to see, engage kind of who he is and where his head is at now in his new position. The Chauncey one, I don't see happening. And Tayshaun, there's more merit there than there is with Chauncey, I'd say.
For reference, Tayshaun is the vice president of basketball affairs, and I have no idea what that means.
Yeah, I knew the title. I don't know at all what that means.
Yeah, and he was like a director of player personnel maybe or something like that the year before, and this was seen as a promotion that he got in this last year too. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, they hit on a couple of high draft picks and they ended up, you know, kind of salvaging Josh Jackson, and we'll see how that goes for his career going forward. And they got Anthony Melton as well. So, you know, some kind of reclamation projects, transactions that they made that are nice ones down in Memphis. Certainly a great position for them to be in going forward. Is there something that you guys want to get off your chest or other takes that you have about the general manager search or where we're at right now with the Pistons that I didn't ask about specifically? Is there something that you wanted to get out there?
Go ahead, Les.
I'm mad that you knew I had something, James.
Always.
I actually, this is going to come out on the Detroit Bad Boys podcast as well. Okay. But in my mind, if the Detroit Pistons are really serious about moving forward with this rebuild, the first and last guy they need to call is Troy Weaver from Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. That guy has literally everything you would need to – he has every experience you would want from a front office perspective. He's, you know, he has experience with trades. He has experience with the draft. He has a wealth of just – experience in and across NBA front offices. He's a guy who's been on the short lists for you know, next GMs in waiting since I think like 2015, and so I think if he is interested, that is absolutely the guy that I would be looking into.
Thanks so much to James and Laz for taking the time to join us talk about the general manager. We'll be back with those guys tomorrow going deep on the draft. Two of the smartest guys out there in Pistons media land. So it was a joy to have them on. Thanks again to those guys for taking the time. Again, thanks to you for checking out BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first purchase at BuiltBar.com. I'll continue to tell you guys about this product because I believe in it. It's very good. And they're doing a great job investing in the Locked On Podcast Network. But that'll do it for today's show. This is your host, Matt Shook, saying thanks for listening. And now, go ahead and tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. That'll do it for today. Talk to you guys tomorrow.